We stand then for the call to worship from 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18, as Apostle Paul wrote, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." And let us pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, how we thank you for your faithfulness. You are the God who provides all good things for us. Certainly you are good to all mankind, but especially to your people as you have provided redemption in the Lord Jesus Christ and through his saving work. And so we thank you. We can remind ourselves of that always, that we can always rejoice and pray to you, that we can seek your perfect will. May we indeed be a thankful people then as we consider all your goodness to us, even over the past year, as always. And we thank you for being with your people throughout the world. We pray you'd be with us. Help us to hear your word and to respond to you in faith and new obedience. Turn us away from our sins and cause us to trust and serve you gladly. We do pray it for your glory as we ask it all in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.
Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, 'tis now and ever shall be, worlds without end. Amen.
Let us again confess the true Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed, saying, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." You may be seated. And let's turn to our first hymn, number 16, "Come Let Us Sing Unto the Lord."
Praise, 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 praise
Indeed, it is to be our confidence at all times in life and in death that we have a Savior, a Lord in heaven who does all things well, and He will come again at the last day and bring all believers to everlasting life in a perfect world to come. The Psalter reading today is number 145, page 860. In Psalm 145, I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever.
Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable.
One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts.
I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works.
Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness.
They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness.
The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy.
The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works.
All your words shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you.
They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power.
To make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations.
The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down.
The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season.
You open your hands and satisfy the desire of every living thing.
The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works.
The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth.
He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them.
The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy.
My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. Well, of course, we know the Lord our God is that faithful one of righteousness and goodness who provides for all according to his mercies, and he provides for those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, not only for this life, but for all eternity. And so with such a God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who provides, who hears us, who is worthy of all our praises, we have confidence to come before him, and we know he will hear us by his grace in the Lord Jesus. And so let us join together in our time of prayer. Again, Heavenly Father, we give you praise and honor. We know you are that most glorious, great God whom we have just read of and confessed. And we know you rule in heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ over all the universe. And so you will certainly do what is good according to your perfect will. We know that above all because you have provided salvation, forgiveness of sins, righteousness, and everlasting life for all who trust in the Lord Jesus as he came into this world to provide it, giving himself in perfect righteousness, in obedience, in every thought, word, and deed, and gave himself as that only atoning sacrifice at the cross. Yes, O Christ, you bore hell there, the wrath of God for all your people, all God's chosen ones, and so we marvel at such a plan of redemption. May we truly be a thankful people then at all times as we think of that. No matter what happens in this world, we know this world is certainly under the curse for sin, rightly, and yet we know also it is a brief life we have here. We long for that everlasting world to come and to be with you in perfection, in glory. But we do thank you that you provide for us all things necessary, even while in this life. Yes, all we truly need for body and soul is your dear children and heirs. And so may we give you thanks, O Triune God, more and more as we see your blessings, we see how you do care for us, you have provided in all things. And certainly we are undeserving of the least of your mercies. May we then be a thankful people again and serve you gladly. Help us to be your witnesses. Be with us as a congregation, as families and individuals. And help us all to serve you and think about your mercies that we do experience even day by day. Again, we do pray you'll continue to be with those we have brought before you in prayer. And we thank you for how you have provided thus far. We do pray again for Jacob and Joan and the stage 4 cancer that he has. They would find what the source is and it can be treated and suppressed. We pray for that and your mercies to both of them and health needs, and certainly for the Nilsons. We pray for Kathy and her recovering from COVID symptoms, that she can have greater strength, and just pray for your blessings upon her and Jerry, and certainly as they care for Kyle. May he turn to you, O Lord. And we know this is even a serious threat to his life when he has such withdrawal type symptoms, and we do pray for your mercies that he can be in a rehab place where he would be turned away from that. But mostly we pray you would grant him repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and guide for the future wherever he would be at. And just pray you'll give them all faith, trusting in you. Certainly pray for Rodney and cancer he has and the testing coming up on the 4th. We pray for your continued directions for him and for family. And we do cry out to you for Reverend Lastly at this time. Oh, Heavenly Father, we know he's certainly not of a great age, being in his later 40s, I believe, and yet clearly has some symptoms of a stroke suddenly. We pray for your mercies that he can be at the Sioux Falls Hospital, have a brain scan. They would find out more what is going on, and you would protect him, O Lord, and deliver him from those symptoms with high blood pressure and a slurred speech and all. And we just pray that you will give him a quick and full recovery. Be with his wife, Amy, and their children, I think 6 of them, I believe in the family, and I pray for your comfort and peace as they might all look unto you. Again, help us to hear your word, help me to proclaim it, and that you would be honored in building us up, edifying us as your people. Pray for our state and our nation, that will provide certainly and protect the unborn, and that righteousness and truth might be manifest instead of the ways of evil man and things we see in culture and society. We pray for your mercies, O Lord, and for a great reawakening. Many would be turned to Christ, and that would be the great glory of our God to do that. Again, we pray for Providence Reformed at Lodi and Reverend Schlegel, and pray for your blessings upon them. We pray for peace, certainly in our country and nation and the world, and with hostilities in Ukraine and Israel, and all, we pray for your glory to be manifest as you do provide according to your goodness. Again, help us to hear you and respond to you as we ought, as we do want to give you praise and thanks, as that is only fitting, and certainly you are worthy of far more than we can ever offer. We praise you and ask for all of this with the forgiveness of our sins through Christ our Lord in his holy name. Amen. Let's turn then to hymn number 57, Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah, O My Souls. We'll stand to sing.
And all the
that they contain. He delivers from oppression, righteousness he will maintain. Food he daily gives the hungry, sets the mourning prisoner free, raises those bowed down with anguish, makes the sightless eye to see. Well, Jehovah loves the righteous, and the stranger he befriends. Helps the fatherless and widow, judgment on the wicked sends. Hallelujah, praise Jehovah, O my soul, Jehovah. I will sing the glorious praises of my God through all my days. Oh, the rock God reigns forever, through all ages he is king. Unto him, your God, O Zion, joyful hallelujah sing.
Scripture passage for the sermon today is 1 Timothy 4, the first five verses. First Timothy 4, starting at verse 1. Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." Now, I know this is Thanksgiving Eve, but brothers and sisters, does it not seem at times that American culture is simply out of control? For example, we have a southern border so open that violent criminals are among those who are freely entering, and that's proven in so many evils committed by such. If they're charged and if deported, they can return here. And with many lawbreakers in our land, there's little punishment, it seems. Or there's cashless bail now in some cities, and so they're released and they can commit violence again. Certainly in the last several years, the inflation that is higher than in many years affects the people of our land. Individual debt has soared for many. Well, certainly we can be thankful for numerous things. We can be thankful for the overturning of Roe v. Wade last year, and so now there are fewer abortions overall, they say. Yet did we foresee the evil expansion of abortion in, seven states, I think, so far, even in some constitutions, as is threatened in our state. And we know how some of these secular activists in our time really want marriage as an institution to be ended. Then any perversion will be allowed, and no one will be allowed to make them feel guilty. And lastly, there's the more recent push that would have us eat bugs instead of meat. Numerous other efforts, to supposedly protect the earth will actually threaten millions of lives. But again, this is Thanksgiving Eve, and Paul tells us what we can be thankful for always, no matter what circumstances, really. And we'll get to that, so hold on. We'll get to that, but we can know certainly at all times that our God is sovereign, and He is ruling over all that happens in this world. And with sin and His justice, He allows the outworking of man's sin to be part of the punishment for rejecting the true faith. Still, our Lord is always, always good to His people. And He provides for that to be seen in all the blessings that we do have. And so, yes, dear ones, let us more and more trust our God who is sovereign and who is good. Both realities can be seen in our text, considering the one true God. He is the one who foretells the evil that sinners will do, but secondly, who is always to be thanked for His blessings. Now, certainly the worst evil of mankind is promoted through false teachers. That is, those with false doctrine about our God and how we are to live, and that can be readily seen in this world. For you know, wherever truth flourishes as it ought, as it certainly ought in the church, in Christ's church most of all, then falsehood can also rear its head. And here the Apostle Paul was concerned that Timothy would deal rightly with all resistance to the truth. And so he wrote what God's Spirit foretold, even that some will depart from the faith. Now, though Christ's church, as the end of chapter 3 here, reflects His glory, some will sadly, terribly fall away from that glory. They may belong to the church only outwardly, not inwardly, or they may leave it altogether, and you know that's happened throughout history many times. Yet verse 1 speaks in specific terms in the Holy Spirit, revealing future apostasy or falling away from the true faith. But you can know that is really seen here as a near future. A near future, as the latter times really means all times following Christ's first advent until He comes again in his glory from heaven. That is the New Testament perspective on the latter days. At any rate, some would abandon the objective faith, meaning the true Christian religion, regarding redemption in Christ even. And that would occur even within the church, as Paul proclaimed. And if you remember, he had previously warned the elders of Ephesus, and that's where Timothy was serving at this time. In Acts 20:29, the apostle said, "Savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Indeed, one false teacher named Apollonius came to Ephesus with the false doctrines described here during Timothy's lifetime." Likewise, dear ones, when such false things are taught in our day, today, we must also recognize their source. We must know, as Paul said, these people are giving heed to deceiving spirits and the doctrines of demons. How terrible. Denying who God is and rejecting true marriage are examples of falsehood. Even as we know, Satan deceived Eve in the beginning. Again, we can always remember that, how he told them, or told her, they would be like God, knowing good and evil on their own if they ate of that forbidden tree. And false teachers will still lead people away from heeding the truth of God's holy word. Therefore, you and I, we must all be wary not to be deceived by the devil, by false teachers, or by our own sinful desires. For sometimes professing Christians may turn away from biblical views of morality, or they may change their own direction in life rather continually. Indeed, they may say, "The Spirit so led me." Well, a question then could be, what Spirit? Paul warns about the spirit, the evil spirits here. But God's Spirit leads according to the Bible again, its principles, its truth. And those in our time who deride doctrine or scriptural teaching are not following the Holy Spirit at that point. Instead, if you look ahead here in this chapter in verses 13 and 16, Timothy is twice told to take heed to doctrine, to biblical teaching. We're not supposed to be about some nebulous ideas. Well, I feel this, I feel that. What does the Bible say? Oh, you know, false teachers would come into the early church who would make even holiness a matter of mere external observances. They would so obscure the true worship of God by forbidding what He permits or blesses even, such as certain foods or even marriage. They sought to be masters of their own conscience and that of others. We'll tell you what to believe. Our ideas. Again, beloved, in our time, many false practices may be attempted which the Lord does not require. He does not require, for example, the avoidance of every trace of alcohol or, say, of all fat in one's diet. As Jesus said in Matthew 15, 3 and following, as with the Pharisees, they invent requirements of man, and those things are often followed as easy substitutes for the actual commandments of God. You just don't eat this, you don't do that. Things that we come up with, you jump through those hoops, and really it's rather easy compared to keeping the Ten Commandments, or to love God with all our being and our neighbors, ourselves. Yes, man's legalistic requirements can be a means even to cover the sin in one's heart. And those type of teachers, having self-seeking hatred or cruelty in their hearts, are speaking lies in hypocrisy, as in verse 2. Well, as the apostle goes on, they may have a suppressed sense of the wrongness of their own actions, having their own conscience seared. That is, they may feel little or no guilt, suppressing the truth, holding it down in unrighteousness. Oh, as a physical illustration of searing, I recall how I received a burn from hot tar on my arm when back in the days I was doing that, doing such roofing. Yeah, it hurt, but after a few moments, you know, I couldn't feel anything there because of the nerve endings being seared. In any case, as for spiritual matters, as said in Ephesians 4, unbelievers are often past feeling in the evil they do. How awful is that? Well, certainly to those with true faith, for us it is instead most awful. For example, when those who even commit abortion are past feeling guilty about it or suppress that knowledge. Yet all of society should reject such evil, of course, and reject all perversions being put forth, even to challenge what is true marriage and so forth. Indeed, you and I know it is a troublesome time in which we live. Troublesome when any conscience guided by Scripture is denied. Yet remember, our God, of course, knows all. He knows all that is done on earth. He pays attention, of course. He's not far off. Not paying attention. He knows, and He is not surprised by these things, though we often are. Who could imagine such things? Transgenderism being so promoted as it is now compared to just a few years ago. Well, He's not surprised, but He is in control as Christ rules the universe from heaven. That you and I can depend upon. Yes, the triune God is sovereign and good to all, especially to His people. And so again, you and I must rely upon His good plan as He foretells it, even if He foretells evil that sinners do and what they will do. He foretells that some will deny His good creation. Now, a simple fact is that whatever a good God creates must be good, whether marriage or foods. So Paul wrote in verse 4, every creature of God is good, meaning good to the believing conscience. God said it, it must be good. We trust Him. In contrast to that understanding, the prohibiting of true marriage and certain foods were hallmarks of some early heresies in the New Testament church. And why was that so? Because those false teachers had a pagan Greek dualistic view of the universe. That meant the spiritual realm was the place where purity could be found, but the physical realm we live in, the physical realm itself was supposed to be evil, including the earth, material things, and human flesh itself. Yeah, with that pagan idea, they thought the good God of the New Testament could not have created matter. That must have been done by an evil God who made the world, and those two battled continually. And there were those called the Gnostics of the second century who taught that directly. They claimed their knowledge or gnosis was more necessary than faith. Yeah, they despised marriage as being a provision for the flesh, and they rejected certain foods such as meat. And you can say, well, those who would do that do so in spite of God's clear provision for both, as in Genesis 2 and 9, respectively. Well, in writing to Timothy, Paul warned of the precursor to such thought, that of the ascetics who renounce certain foods and comforts in life as a supposed means to gain perfection. A later cult, that of the Manichees, would stand against marriage and eating meats also. Indeed, when such was taught, the church did not oppose that strongly enough. That's what happened in history. And in time, the medieval priests of the church were forbidden to marry, and meat was forbidden on certain days. Anyway, beloved, you and I can know that there's really nothing new then, nothing new in our culture when some are, say, militant in promoting vegetarianism or animal rights extremism. There's nothing new, really, if special taxes or limitations on fatty or sugary foods are proposed, or meat production is hindered. That's really being pushed now. But as for forbidding or despising marriage today, you know, we're all supposed to just accept, live-in situations instead of marriage. And again, homosexuality is promoted throughout society, even to the minds of children, as if natural. And it's all supposed to be accepted and protected, having privileges according to civil law. Therefore, in our time, it is the same as when the Gnostics put man's sinful reasoning above true faith, faith which is actually in accord with the Bible. And because of that, their outlook, sin is not acknowledged in the evil that sinners do. But again, let us remember, our sovereign and good God still rules. And we know and are assured of that, above all, because Jesus died on the cross to provide redemption, the only way of forgiveness and everlasting life for God's people. He did all of that, bearing hell that we might be delivered from sin's enslavement, have new minds, and thankfully seek after righteousness, giving God all praise and glory as His right. Our blessed Lord Jesus is then rewarded with the throne over the universe, and our God is just again to give sinners over to the sins they persist in when they refuse to repent and believe on Him. Yes, God also foretells what evil men will do. The Almighty knows it all. And He is sovereign, that one who is always, secondly, to be thanked for His blessings. Now, as our Heidelberg Catechism number 28 says, we are to be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity. And we're told to be that way, as in verse or question 27, it speaks of good gifts from God as well as sickness and poverty and so forth. In any case, you and I are to admit that we have blessings for which to thank the Lord, our Lord, even in our worst times. That was certainly illustrated when Paul and Silas were beaten, bleeding, and bound in the Philippian jail in Acts 16. Yes, they were singing praises to God, so bound after taking the beating. Praises to God, for they still had their lives, but most of all, they had salvation in Jesus, and they were privileged to suffer for Him. That was their faith being expressed. They knew He was their Redeemer and that God was sovereign and good. So must you and I know that always. You know, a wonderful result at that time was that the Philippian jailer and his family heard the gospel and believed it. They received salvation after Paul and Silas so suffered as an opening to speak to him and them. For us also, we are to thank our Heavenly Father for the blessings that we each have at any given time. To so thank Him will mean receiving them all as such, as blessings. Again, in verse 3, marriage and foods are part of what God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Well, you can look back in chapter 3. Paul does speak of what's good and proper in marriage as meaning there's one man and one woman serving the Lord. That's what it's to be about. And although there may be struggles in marriages, can be in ours, we know that marriage is good. It's from our God. And it's meant for our blessing. And we're always to thank God for it. Oh, clearly, you and I dare not imagine, like the Gnostics, that God does not care about this earthly life, nor for our bodies or what we do with them. You know, some of those cultists went to the other extreme from abstinence, from marriage. And that is, they claimed that we can overcome the flesh by indulging it promiscuously until supposedly it won't have any more attraction. Well, John, Peter, and Jude wrote against such lewdness, and Paul warned in 2 Timothy 3, 4, and following of those who will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And he said, from such people turn away. So let us be warned and heed when we come across those who are promiscuous in this evil world. Certainly, you and I must know and maintain that all lawful pleasure has its lawful place. And there we'll receive blessing for which to thank the Lord. Particularly here, as for foods, the Almighty gives all that we may enjoy, be blessed with it, and give Him thanks. And of course, to give thanks to God is the only return we can really give. And in contrast to that, to hinder such praise is wicked. Oh, certainly you and I are not to misuse God's gifts, as in gluttony or drunkenness. That's not receiving gifts as blessings. And of course, some are allergic to certain foods. Yet with all that we can receive with thankfulness, there we have proof of the Lord's constant presence and goodness. Yes. And obviously our triune God is good to all people. In this life, just said in Matthew 5, He makes the sun to shine on the just and the unjust. And yet, they say, believers alone can rightly thank Him. Thank Him from the heart that is freed in Christ, a heart of faith. And so truly, brothers and sisters, we must praise our God when He takes us for His covenant people, and that we know that all the world to come is destined for God's elect. Yes, we know that in Christ all believers are heirs of that world for which we're to be thankful always. Well, if we have that life to come, clearly then the lesser matter of foods here that he provides is not to be rejected. They're not to be refused, verse 4, nor tabooed, as heathen cults continue to do with some. Indeed, nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. Certainly, evil is not in proper foods or the physical things of the world, but in our hearts, in the hearts of people, if we refuse to thank God for being sovereign and good. Or, you know, if one is unthankful or faithless, then, as said, his gifts become as impure or curses to the recipient. Again, let us beware and reject all ingratitude. Oh, even in great trouble, as I say, you can thank the Lord for being in control and that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. Dear ones, whatever the upheavals in our time, then let us each acknowledge and trust that the Lord Jesus Christ reigns for our good. And as we read at the beginning of the service from 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. A sovereign and good God is always to be thanked for his blessings. Lastly, that means receiving them as sanctified by his word and prayer. Well, God's gifts are sanctified or set apart for believers according to his will, as said in his word. Clearly then, our marriages, for example, are to be sanctified. Christians are only to marry Christians, as the Bible plainly says and repeatedly declares. And the ultimate goal of our marriages then must be to serve Christ's kingdom. Food is also to be used and thought of as for strength in our service to the Lord. You see, then it's part of the spiritual realm of our lives. As in 1 Corinthians 10:31, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, there are some different views of how our food is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. For obviously, Christians have not always had their own Bibles to read from at mealtimes. Although, as we do, that's a great time for reading Scripture, as is any time. I think the point the apostle is making is that God's word tells us what is set apart for us, sanctified for us, in all his good gifts. And again, we're to pray with gratitude for such. As in Deuteronomy 8:3, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And so clearly you and I must acknowledge that we need Christ and his written word more than our physical food. We must hear and take it to heart, obviously. For without trust in the gospel, no one has spiritual or eternal life. They'll only die here, and life will be over, and punishment entered. But food is sanctified to us with the perspective of faith in gratitude for Jesus. Also, when the scriptures tell us that believers are heirs of God who belong to Christ, then we can receive all good things as God's blessing sanctified to us. It only follows that our meals ought to be sanctified by thankful prayer. And I think that should be a reminder to many modern Christians who may tend to neglect altogether the practice of saying grace before meals or minimize its significance. We can all too often. But faithful Jews of old and then Christians commonly did not forget it in the past. They rendered heartfelt thanks to the Lord before all their meals. Indeed, when you and I honor God for our food, according to this scriptural practice, then the Lord pronounces his blessing upon it and us. As we're assured in Psalm 111:5, He has given food to those who fear Him. He will ever be mindful of His covenant. Yes, He will bless His people there. And so, beloved of God, as His covenant people, may we always be mindful of His blessings for body and soul day by day. We can forget it. We can take it for granted so easily, but God does not. He's providing for us every single day. And of all people, then, it's only fitting and right that you and I should show gratitude in our words and deeds. Yes, in all thankfulness for salvation from sin and hell, above all, but also for all His earthly gifts. May we each trust and obey our sovereign and good God more and more, all to His eternal glory. And you can be assured that will bear good witness to our triune God as well. Yes, may God be so honored and others hear and see the truth shown in our lives of gratitude. All thanks be to Him. Amen. Let us pray together. Again, Heavenly Father, we thank You. You are so faithful and good. You never forget to provide for us as Your people. You do that continually. You have so determined it from eternity past, even sending Christ to be Savior and Lord, the Redeemer who gave Himself fully and freely, that we might have forgiveness of sins, righteousness, and eternal life with You in that perfect world to come. And You provide all good things here in this world. Though it is brief and it is cursed by sin, yet You are still good, and You still provide us according to Your good will. Thank You for Your mercies. Help us to truly be thankful and to be Your witnesses in that way. May You receive all the glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Turn us away from all ingratitude, and may we serve You and give You glory. Forgive our sins, increase our faith. We pray it all in Christ's name and for His sake. And now we do pray together as Christ taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This time we can give of our tithes and offerings to the Lord, if we have that gathered. You want to gather, but there's Jim. Oh, Jim's coming. turn to our last hymn, 637, What Shall I Render to My God for All His Kindness Shown? Let's stand to sing.
What shall I render to my God for all His kindness shown? My feet shall visit Thine abode, my songs address Thy throne. How much is mercy Thy delight, Thou ever blessed God? Thy servants in Thy sight, how precious is their blood. How happy all Thy servants are, how great Thy grace to me. My life which Thou hast made Thy care, Lord, I devote to Thee. Now I am Thine forever, Thine, nor shall my purpose move. Thy hand hath loosed my bonds of pain, and bound me with Thy love. Here in Thy courts I leave my vow, and Thy rich grace record. Witness ye saints who hear me now, if I forsake the Lord.
Well, we do depend upon the goodness, the grace of the Lord, and so do receive His benediction. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.